This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. When we were told by Monica Lewinsky's publisher that she was going to do a few more interviews to promote her book, Monica's Story, and that one of those interviews could be on Fresh Air, I had a really ambivalent reaction. I thought, what's left to talk about? Isn't it time for this story to end? And how would I handle the sexual aspects of the story? Her intimate relationship with the president is at the center of the story, and it's a central part of her book. But if I asked about it, would that make me a good journalist or a voyeur? And if I avoided that territory and stuck to questions about her life after the impeachment, would that just be fluff? Well, those reservations were overruled by the slightly louder voice in my head that said, how can you turn down an opportunity to talk with Monica Lewinsky? So, yesterday, I recorded an interview with Monica Lewinsky. Here's how it went. I'll confess that I'm very ambivalent about interviewing you. I really wanted to talk with you, yet I don't want to be one of the people who drags on the story after it's over, and I don't want to be one of the people who tries to make public things that should rightfully be private. I wonder if you're ambivalent about doing interviews now.
Most definitely. It's, I think it was a hard experience for me to have everything become public when I didn't want it to, and then choosing to put my version of events on the record for people and what comes with that in terms of interviews and whatnot is sometimes it's a little bit stressful for me emotionally.
It must be strange after being forced to talk by the special prosecutor's office in the Senate to then be obliged to give interviews to promote the book.
It's I think it's something that I've gotten much more used to in the past 6 weeks since we started the book tour and did that in the UK and in Europe. And I've certainly learned a lot. But sometimes it is difficult for me. And sometimes you don't want to do that. But at the same time, what's been important to me is that I've been judged a lot on things that weren't true, and if people are going to choose to judge me, I'd at least prefer that they judge me on the truth.
The story is still continuing. Judge Susan Weber Wright recently found the president in contempt of court for giving false, misleading, and evasive answers that were designed to obstruct the judicial process. Now, in your Paula Jones deposition, you said, I have never had a sexual relationship with the president. He did not propose that we have a sexual relationship. I'm wondering, do you think of that as a lie?
Depends on how carefully you want to, split hairs or parse the statement. I think it was misleading. It was definitely misleading.
And you knew what you were doing, or what you hoped to accomplish, by saying something that was misleading. What was your rationalization for it?
I think I had sort of two states of mind at that point. One was I really felt that I was going to do whatever I needed to do to protect the privacy of this relationship. And at the same time, I was able to rationalize to myself that in some senses, what was in there was literally true. And in that sense, it was misleading.
I'm wondering if you felt that the more important principle that you wanted to honor was the principle of protecting your privacy and protecting the president.
Certainly. I think that for me, and I know I've been asked a lot, people tend to have, not understand how I could feel that this shouldn't be talked about publicly, yet I had confided in some of my friends. And I think that there's a big difference between when someone confides something privately and in private and when they say something in public. And I felt that this was certainly something that should remain private.
There was a story in last Sunday's New York Times that at the time Kosovo was really needing attention, earlier before the full-scale ethnic cleansing started there, that President Clinton was very distracted by the impeachment process. Do you feel that your relationship with the president had consequences that you couldn't even imagine while the relationship was going on?
Well, I think without directly commenting about that situation, and I didn't see the article, I was out of the country, in so many different respects, I think this relationship had a lot more consequences than I could have ever have imagined.
Everyone has their own version of the story and their own moral to the story. I'd love to talk with you about your interpretation. As you write about in the book and as you've spoken about before, you kind of initiated the relationship by flashing your thong underwear and signaling, "I'll play," to the president, and then confessing to him that you had a crush on him. And then he followed through on those signals that he perhaps should have ignored. Do you feel that either of you is any more responsible in starting this relationship?
Well, I don't think that's necessarily a completely accurate description of how it began. So I think...
Fix it for me.
Okay. a lot of times I think if people were to step away from the situation and look at it as a man and a woman instead of the president and the intern, and think about in their own lives when a relationship, whether it's one that they should or shouldn't have, begins, the flirtation started with eye contact, and it moved onto different levels. And I know that people have really kind of attached themselves to the thong incident, and it was something that was very subtle. It was in a room full of other people, and it was not... Yes, it was certainly a forward move. Yes, it was certainly, as you quoted me as having saying, sort of being a message of, yes, I'll play. But there had already been flirtation that had existed for a few months. So I think it was taking it to another level, and the step that you're missing in between... the thong and then me telling him that I had a crush on him was him inviting me into an office where there was no one else present. So I think that in some respects, that was the biggest move that he made.
Inviting you in.
And this was into George Stephanopoulos's office.
So you see that as kind of an invitation?
I think so. I think that that certainly took it to a much higher level. And I responded.
The president has said about your relationship with him in one of his apologies that he understands that he has sinned. And I'm wondering if you see the relationship as a sin, or if you see it in any larger religious or moral way.
I think I probably see it as being more morally incorrect. I certainly it was a sin. I'm not the most religious person, in all honesty. I think I'm more spiritual than I am religious. And it certainly was morally wrong.
Did you, when the relationship was going on, ever think about what the consequences might be for you, for the president, for his family, and for the country?
Yes and no. I think that people need to understand that when I thought about worst-case scenarios, all I could have ever imagined was that there would have been an allegation made publicly, not by me, not by him. I would have denied it publicly, and he would have denied it publicly. So it would have been a problem, and it was also something that I didn't anticipate. It, of course, crossed my mind, but I never thought it would be something that would ever be confirmed to the public or to the country or to his family, because I certainly wasn't going to confirm it.
What was the worst case scenario that you played in your head?
I think was that, well, either that the result of some of the rumors that were circling the White House would get into the press, and that it would be an issue that way, and I would just flat out deny it and say it was ridiculous, or that maybe someone I had confided in might betray me, and in which case that would be going to the press, and I would once again deny it.
So you were confident that just denying things would end the story?
Yes.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Monica Lewinsky, and as you know, she has a new book called Monica's Story. As I mentioned, you know, a lot of people have different interpretations about what your story means, and also different scenarios for what you represent as a woman. One scenario, and this is the Monica Lewinsky's Bad for Women version, that scenario is that you were a woman who thought that you could find self-esteem by sleeping with men, but you usually got involved with the wrong men. The Monica Lewinsky is, you know, a kind of interesting development for women version goes like this. Monica Lewinsky is a woman who takes unapologetic pleasure in her sexuality. What do you think about both of those versions?
Probably the truth lies somewhere in a combination of the two. I think that I mean, I haven't made a secret about it, that I am comfortable with my sexuality, but that doesn't take away from the fact that I have some personal issues that and emotional issues that I need to work on, and that clearly the, I guess the result of some of those issues was that I was involved in relationships I shouldn't have been. I think that what I found what's interesting, I mean, in what you're saying about women is just that on one hand, there's been so much support, and I've received a lot of support from women and some of the most vocal support, and it's been private support that I've gotten from women. But publicly, it has been the women who have been, I guess, my harshest critic.
Has a story, you know, has your relationship and its consequences gotten you to rethink your own sense of your own sexuality and your own sense of what a kind of healthy relationship is?
Certainly. I think that the result of this past year has certainly put me in a position where I know that I definitely needed to and have taken the action to begin working on my personal and private issues so that those things don't happen again.
What do you mean by those things?
Having relationships with men I shouldn't be having.
Right. Now that your personal life has been the subject of every kind of press imaginable, do you think a lot of people are hypocritical about sex?
Definitely.
What are some of the things you've found most striking in that area?
I think the first thing that comes to mind would probably be the media and the way so many journalists or people on TV would talk about this and, you know, this tawdry affair and this, that, and the other when they themselves in their personal lives have made similar mistakes. And I think that that was something that the hypocrisy came out as well in the impeachment trial within Congress.
How did you feel about Larry Flynt's investigation into the private lives of senators and congressmen?
I had mixed feelings about it. I thought on the one hand, I was glad someone was going to bring this hypocrisy to light. But on the other hand, having had this experience of having my private life exposed when I didn't want it to, it's a very invasive feeling. So I thought that it was a bit cruel.
Monica Lewinsky is my guest, and as you know, she has a new book called Monica's Story. Let's talk a little bit about what you believe the relationship with President Clinton was about. You've described the president as your sexual soulmate, and yet he had told you that he had had hundreds of affairs before he was 40, but after he was 40, he'd made a concerted effort to be faithful. Then he confessed to you that he kept a record of the days he didn't cheat on his wife. So when you hear something like that from someone, what delusions can you have about the specialness of your relationship?
Well, I think first let me just correct, because only in fairness to him, that he said my recollection of what he had said was that he had kept a record of the days he had been good. And so I think to go a step further and say that his being good was necessarily days that he didn't cheat on his wife is kind of a jump that's a little bit too much to make, and it's not really fair to him or to Mrs. Clinton. I think I felt that also at the time when he sort of said hundreds of affairs, that I didn't necessarily think that was literal, that there were 100 other women, but I don't know. I think for me that it was understanding, and it was seeing that we had some sort of a connection, and the connection started, it was a physical attraction. There was an attraction there, and it developed into a lot of other things mm-hmm. that come from being intimate with someone, not just physically, but emotionally.
You describe in the book that the first time you engaged in oral sex, he talked with a congressman on the phone about Bosnia. And at the same time all that's happening, you're thinking, we clicked at an incredible level. And, you know, reading that, I just couldn't help but wonder how he could be on the phone while this is happening and you're thinking about how incredibly well you're clicking.
I certainly am not going to go through and reenact for you verbally what was going on and what my feelings and emotions were at the time. I think you just have to accept at face value that that's how I was feeling and that that's what was going on for me.
We're listening to the interview I recorded yesterday with Monica Lewinsky. As you could probably hear, she wasn't very comfortable with that question about clicking with the president. My next question was going to explore similar territory, but after the first few words of the question, Lewinsky told me that my questions were too intimate and that she didn't want to continue the interview. She seemed to be under the impression that our conversation was supposed to be limited to subjects like her book tour and her recent experiences in Europe. She wasn't hostile. She even apologized for having to end the interview, but end it she did. I suppose this wasn't a surprising conclusion to an interview that the interviewer was ambivalent about conducting and the interviewee was uncomfortable participating in. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.